Quran is continued. Okay. So, L'davar Hashem Ori is Tehillim Chav Zayin. It only has 14 psukim. And as you'll see, there is one basic theme through this kapitel, which will be easily identifiable once you hear a little bit. The reason why I think we say this, it's based on a medrash. I didn't see this in Hirsch, but I think it's well quoted. There's a medrash Tehillim, otherwise known as medrash Shochar Tov, that darshans the first pasuk of the Davar Hashem Ori, the Yishi, as follows. I think it goes along the words of Ori. When it says Ori, my Hashem is my light, Zu Rosh Hashanah, oh, here's my Shemachem. Okay. So it says Ori, this is referring to Rosh Hashanah. When it says Yishi, he's my salvation, so that's referring to Yom Kippur. So no one, at least the Medrash that I looked at, doesn't talk about, there's a pasuk that talks about Sukkah, but I think I kind of remember hearing that from somebody once, that later pasuk, that Ki Itzpenemi B'Sukkah B'Yomra, is an allusion to Sukkahs too. But I mean, that's cute and all, but why does it have to do with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkahs? I would like to raise that question after we finish going through this kapitel, and maybe we'll have maybe you'll share with me what you think. I know what I think. Hirsch doesn't talk about that point at all, but once we understand what the kapitel talks about, we can be creative about why we think it's said throughout this entire season, starting Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay, so no further ado. So first of all, when any kapitel Tehillim starts with the word, just the word L'David, as opposed to Mizmar L'David or L'David Mizmar, so just the word L'David alone, and by the way, there's a series of them. It starts with kapitel Chaf Hei, and it goes all the way until the following Chaf Hei, so it's like Chaf Hei, Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin, Chaf Zayin, so like five of them. Chaf Hei, Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin, Chaf Zayin, yeah, four of them. So there's that all talks about, these are philosophies and thoughts that David HaMelech carried with him that got him through life, each focusing on a different aspect of life. This particular chapter deals with going through the troubles and the vicissitudes of life and what got him to work his way through all that. Other ones deal with other aspects of his life. When it says L'mizmar L'David, that's something else. That's David worked his way up through song to some state of elevation. And when it's L'David Mizmar, then it's David himself feeling some internal inspiration which burst out in song. And the kapitel is an expression of that song. So each one is different. But just L'David alone is just his philosophies, his attitudes and thoughts about life. The way Hirsch words it, they simply express the thoughts and attitudes which filled David's spirit and guided him in his life on earth. Okay. So, L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Hashem is my light. He is my salvation. Mini Ira. From whom should I be afraid? Hashem Ma'oz Chayai. Hashem is the source, Hirsch translates, the source of my life's strength. Mini Echad. From whom then shall I be afraid? So he explains as follows. My enlightenment and my happiness comes from Hashem. I let Hashem guide me, and I derive from Hashem my awareness of Him and the desire to strive for perfection of my being. He says the word Yishi has to do with my very Yesh, my very being. Whom then should I fear? Whose greatness and might then should appear to me so overwhelming that I should feel so small before them? If my focus is on Hashem, then everything else is nothing compared to that. And as you'll see, he's going to talk about all kinds of things being thrown at him, all kinds of concerns and worries, people maligning him, people trying to attack him. But if his entire thrust is on his relationship with Hashem, then all of those things don't overwhelm him and don't scare him, because his focus is on something else, far greater than them. So again, here he says, by Hashem Ma'oz Chayim, that he's the fount of my life. I know no fear, since I know that God will not allow him to perish, he whose desires and ambitions are in accordance with his will. Therefore, I need fear neither danger nor injury at the hands of the human being. Okay. So therefore, as it flows from that, Bikrov alayn mereyim lechol espesari, even when evildoers come upon me or came upon me, Bikrov alayn, when they approached me, want to eat my flesh. Sounds like they really want to attack him. He's in the middle of a war or something. Sarai v'oyvai li. Now, that's a different expression. They are my, they appear to me as my oppressors, v'oyvai li, and my foes, my enemies. So, hemakashlu v'nafolu. They're going to stumble, and they always fell. But Hirsch points out the two different names here are because one is the way Hashem understands them, and one is the way he understood them. Hashem understood them as mereim. These are evildoers. But Tavit thought they were just people who didn't like him or they were against him. He says, Sarai v'oivai li. To me, I consider them Sarai v'oivai. They were bad guys out to get me. But Hashem thought about them that they're mereim. They're evildoers. And because Hashem wasn't impressed with them, not just in order to protect others, because they were bad people, Hashem was going to take care of them. David has nothing to be afraid of if they're not on Hashem's good list. And even if a camp would encamp against me, he's surrounded by enemies all around him. Lo yira libi. So my heart's not going to be afraid. If even a war, if they rise up against me in war, I'll trust in Zos. The Midrashim talk about, not Hirsch mentioned, he does not mention this, but Midrashim talk about Zos, an allusion to the Torah. If I'm faithful to the Torah, I trust in that, I'll be fine. Hirsch doesn't quite get into gematrias and stuff like that, that's never his derech. But he simply says, I'm not going to be afraid because I have this trust that I already mentioned earlier in the parak, that if my whole focus is on Hashem, then even no matter how close they get, even if they're surrounding me from all sides, I have nothing to be afraid of. Okay. Now here's the famous pasuk. We know songs about it, beautiful pasuk, but it's really the center of David's whole philosophy of life, what got him through all the hard times. Because acha sha'alti meis Hashem, one thing I've asked of Hashem, osa avakesh, and only this am I going to seek. This is my only focal point. And even though there's a medrash that says, David seems to be saying a long list of things. And Hashem says, really? You said one, and then you say a whole bunch of things. And David says, you did the same thing. Famous Medrash. You said, you know, Hashem only asked the theorem, and then you go on and say all kinds of other stuff. But the simple reading, according to Hirsch, is that this really is only one thing. David says, I want only one thing from Hashem, and that is Shifti Beveis Hashem. Shifti literally means my sitting, but it really, Hirsch understands it to mean my attaining calmness through my living my life in Beis Hashem, as we'll soon explain. Kol yimei chayei, all the days of my life, lachsos menoam, benoam Hashem, to behold the menoam Hashem, he says it's a hard word to translate, I'll give you his translation. It's that which is attractive, pleasant, satisfying, or blissful. He writes, it is difficult to express the meaning properly by means of any one word. It's what happens in life.
Noam is a known word.
Noam means pleasant, but he says it means much more than pleasant. He says the ways of life taught us by divine wisdom are referred to as Darchei Noam. Noam Hashem is the blissfully glorious way in which God shapes human affairs on earth in accordance with his purposes. That's Noam Hashem. Now, David wants to be shifty to Beis Hashem. Literally, he understands Beis Hashem to mean the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. To sit in there cannot mean literally sitting in the Mishkan all day. But we'll soon explain what that means then. Lachsos benon Hashem, to then get a sense of this pleasantness that Hashem is, he's part of your life, that the Shekhinah is guiding your life and you're a part of Hashem's bigger mission. Uluvaker beheichalo. He says, Luvaker, Lashon Bikur, doesn't mean to visit. Bikoris means a careful examination of something. In his heichal. Now the heichal is a whole concept. What is the heichal? To deeply understand the heichal, what's going on here? It's a strange pasuk if you read it this way. Again, he wants to sit in the house of Hashem, so let's read it the way Hirsch did, to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, or sit in the Mishkan, and to get a sense of this this calm and feeling the blissful, glorious way that Hashem shapes human affairs in accordance with His purposes, ulevaker behechalo, and to seek deep understanding in His heichal and in the Beis Hamikdash. So, what's he talking about? So, I'm not going to get into all at this time yet. We'll see. Maybe next week we'll have a little bit more time. I'll focus on that if we are in the mood. But basically, he says as follows. It can't be that David is asking, he wants to stay in the Beis HaMikdash all day. Even Kohanim don't do that. They're only there a few hours a day. Maybe if you're in Lakewood, they say Beis Hashem means the Beis Medrash, and everything's easy. You say, I want to sit and learn all day. I want to be in the Beis Medrash. And I have Midrashim. David's legs always brought him to go learn. But it talks about the Heichal over here, or the Vakab Heichal. And later it talks about other things that allude to the Mikdash. It brings Vachim. So we'll read the parak like it's simply talking. He wants to be in the Heichal, in the Mikdash, to understand it deeply. So he says as follows. Even if all of our lives outside are outside the temple walls, that's good enough. The point is taking the ideas of the Mikdash and translating them into your whole life. Only if all, he says that for even the actual building of the house fulfills its purpose, only if, the whole point of the Beis Mikdash only achieves its goal if all our lives outside the Beis Mikdash will be sanctified by the understanding, purity, and devotion taught within the sanctuary, within the Mikdash, so that the presence of God will be sought not only in the temple, but instead will be among us and with us wherever we go. And he says, look at what I wrote in Shmos per Chafei, and I started looking, and it went on for hours. And then the next part of the Pasuk, he says, look at what I said per Chafei, another place, another few hours. It turns out he's got 100 more pages getting into how these ideas play out. Here he does a nice job, though, of explaining it in very, very brief words, so I'm going to read it to you in a moment. So he says as follows, my goal is, this is David speaking, my goal is to spend all my days, quote unquote, in the house of God, meaning living the hashkafa of what the Beis HaMikdash teaches me as I go through life. And thus, shifty, to remain calm even in the most critical moments of my life. Remember, the parak started with people attacking David, troubles in his life. And this is how he's going to deal with this. If his life is focused on a life of what the Mikdash represents, that's going to give him, that's going to center him. That's going to give him his spiritual calm and his knowledge that he's on the good side and he'll be safe. As long as you know you're doing the right thing and Hashem is with you, then all those things that are coming at you don't seem to be as dramatic as they may be. If the only thing you think of how to live your life is contacted by yourself, then you got a problem, because then things bigger than you scare you, things that are coming at you, you wonder how you're going to stop them. But if you're part of Hashem's bigger plan and everything you're doing is part of His message, then you're okay, because Hashem is going to make everything okay. He always makes everything okay. So let me briefly read to you, I mean, this is really a long tangent, so I don't want to not do the whole capital today. Maybe I'll just briefly say one thing outside rather than read four paragraphs here. He basically says that the Beis HaMikdash represents, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the Torah, but it's far more than the Torah. The Kruvim have, they do two things. The Kruvim, their faces look towards the Torah beneath them. They have wings that protect the Luchos beneath them. But they're also, the wings are facing upward towards Hashem, towards the Shekhinah. And he says that really two things happen at the same time. The Kruvim represents a life that is concerned with guarding the Torah and living by the Torah. It itself is the bearer of the Shekhinah. As we concern ourselves with the Torah, then the Torah protects us. And that's all in what he calls the devir, right? That's Chazal calls it the devir. That's the word, the ikar place where the word of Hashem is represented. But then the next place of the Mikdash after that is the Heichal, which shows the Yecholas, Hashem's the whole of the ability. I've seen it translated by Hirsch's son. It's the place where Hashem's word translates into what he does with that, what happens when we live by his Torah. And that is, we have the menorah, which means enlightenment. Without getting into all the parts of the menorah, how it represents all that, but Hashem illuminates our lives through wisdom, and in other words, intellectually, spiritually. And on the other side of it is the shulchan, which is our physical being sustained and our prosperity. Facing directly in front of the Aron HaKodesh, directly equidistant between those two poles of the menorah on one side and the shulchan on the other, which is our intellect, our spirit, and our physical. So right in front of that, Hirsch says, that's the mizbech hazav, the golden mizbech, which represents and the spice, the guitarist that we offered. We're facing, it's the highest level of the combination of those two things that we just received, our spirit and our physical. So I don't know why, I haven't seen it yet in his writings, but there's something about, I've heard things about the Kabbalah, but I haven't heard Hirsch talk about exactly why the guitarist does this. But there's something about the Torah that is on the highest level of it represents our highest enjoyment and our dedication of that enjoyment back to the Torah. Because directly facing us, right, of course there's a parochus in between, there's that curtain, but right, it's directly in front of the Aron HaKodesh. So we get our wisdom and our spirit and our physical from the Torah. That's the Aron HaKodesh spills out into the Heichal and has that. And the combination of the two on the highest level apparently is the Keteris. We don't just enjoy life with a combination of the physical and the spiritual, but we take that and in the highest level give that back to Hashem. It's from Hashem, it's through Hashem, and it's all for Hashem. So with the Torah in mind of where we got it from and what it's all for, that's the avodah only done by the Kohen Gadol, because it represents the ideal of what we're supposed to be doing. So this is the message in the rooms of the Beis HaMikdash. But it spills out. The Mizbech is really hundreds of pages on this, so this is really in a nutshell. The Mizbech outside, which is made out of Nechashis, made out of copper, that's less refined. That's where we're working our way up. When we get a little higher up, it's finally gold. But when you go past, when you leave the Beis HaMikdash, that's referred to as the Chatzar Beis Hashem. The Chatzar doesn't just mean like the area right in front. That's the Azar. The Chatzar Hashem is all of the area outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the goal is that these messages of life, of what to do with your physical and your spiritual, and to rededicate it, always striving towards the Torah, is to then carry you as you leave the Beis HaMikdash in life. But that's in a nutshell, really in a nutshell, Hirsch's whole summary of what is the Beis HaMikdash and how it plays out. And when we think that the Beis HaMikdash is the end-all and be-all, and I've heard some of the Chachamim say this, and Hirsch would chastise them for saying this, but they're totally wrong. Oy, when we have the Beis HaMikdash again, then it's going to be so halig. They're missing the point. The point, yes, it's true, then we'll be so holy and lofty, but the point is not that that's the place of holiness and loftiness. The point was that we're going to get a representation of what life is supposed to look like, and life is supposed to be holy. When we leave the Beis HaMikdash, it's only temporary. We're only there a few hours once in a while, a couple of months. We come in, we come out, and then the rest of our lives are not there. Even when you lived in Eretz Yisrael, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, if you were a farmer somewhere up north, you weren't living in the Beis HaMikdash, but you were aware of the messages that were constantly occurring there, and when you went back and you plugged in, those messages carried you in your life. So you were an honest farmer and a kind farmer and a kind citizen and an honest businessman. That's, and you lived your life the Kedusha of the Tahara. Okay, anyway. So back to David HaMelech from this capital, but I gotta really get moving now. Okay, so HaDavid wants only one thing, and that's gonna protect him from all this fear of people coming at him. The pasuk, hey, ki it's peneni besuko, because Hashem is going to conceal me. in his sukkah, in his tabernacle, which it's, what exactly is that sukkah? So apparently there's a difference in the ksiv and the kri. It's written with a hey, and it's pronounced with a vav. So sukkah with a hey is feminine, sukkah with a vav is masculine. And he says, even if I'm in a little weak hiding place, but it's going to be strong enough. The simplest sukkah, the lowliest hut, which will give me shelter, is sukkah, a physical strong hut to me. It's a shelter which Hashem himself has prepared for me. And he says, indeed, it is his tabernacle with a capital T. In other words, if I'm carrying the message of the Mikdash with me, he says, this explains the previous pasuk of Shiv Beis Hashem. If I'm living my mind, in my mind I'm with the Beis Hamikdash and all its lessons, then that's what's carrying me. I'm in Hashem's presence. It encompasses his presence even as it surrounds my own person. He is with me and I'm safe with him. So that's how he explains David's continuation. He's been in the sukkah b'yomra, yastirenu b'seser alo. He'll hide me in the comfort, in the seser, in the closeness of his tent. Not only will I be hidden, he lifts me up high on top of a rock. I don't even have to be afraid of concealing myself. I'm actually elevated. I don't have to worry about anything. The atzah, and now, yorim roshi, my head is lifted up, aloizai, high above my enemies, sivosai, the ezbach of Yaholo. I'll even bring a zevach, I'll bring a carbon, Yaholo. A carbon of rejoicing in his tent, in the Mikdash. Zivchei Serua. Ashur Azam al Hashem. So he says that this is referring to Zvachim, which are joyous. In other words, even while danger lurks around me, I'd be ready to be happy and bring Hashem Karbanos. Maybe this moment I can't, but I'm in that, I'm feeling calm inside. I'm ready to sing inspired songs and praise of Hashem. He says, therefore, my physical situation, however precarious it may seem, holds no terror for me. Since this is so, any request of prayer which I may address to Hashem will concern the attainment of my spiritual goal, which is dependent upon my attaining moral perfection, namely that I might be found worthy of the presence of God and retain it forever. So this is what David's saying. When enemies are attacking me and I'm worried about things coming at me, this is my focal point. The messages of the Mikdash, my life, my relationship with Hashem. And that's how I'm going to know that I'm okay, that I'm safe. To the point that I can even elevate myself way above the fear of what's going on. I'm ready, if my mind is focused this way, I'm in another place. And I can actually theoretically bring karbanos right now. Thanks that everything is good. Because it is good. I'm with Hashem and I'm beyond all this. And he continues, Shema Hashem Koli. The tefillah now that David says is to, how do I attain this? How do I get close to Hashem? Listen, Shema Hashem Koli, Ekra V'chaneni V'aneni. So he says, you might have expected David's voice pleading for deliverance from some physical peril. After all, that's what's going on. Enemies are surrounding him. But listen to what he ends up talking about. The next pasuk. L'cha amalibi bakshu fanoi es panech Hashem avakesh. Of you does my heart say, L'cha amar libi, bakshu fanoi, seek my face. David says like this, on your behalf, my heart is telling me that you have said, seek my face. David's saying, I'm hearing you asking me to go seek you out. That's L'cha amar libi. My heart's telling me about you telling me, bakshu fanoi. So therefore, espanech Hashem avakesh, I'm going to do that. I wouldn't have the chutzpah to think I could come close to you unless I thought that's what you wanted. But I hear that's what you want, so I'm going to do that. So I'm going to strive to be close to you. Right? So there's many psukim in the Torah which talk about that. Hashem says, you make me a mikdash, also mikdash shechanti v'socham. So I don't think my life is going to be that mikdash, and so I'll be close with you. So all I ask for is that closeness. Al taster panecha mimeni. So therefore, don't hide your face, your countenance from me. Al tati avavdecha, even if I'm not perfect yet. I haven't done enough mitzvahs as I should have. But please don't be angry with your servant. As Rasi Oyisa, till now you've been my help. Al tidsheni. Don't cast me off. Al tazveni elakeishi. Don't forsake me the God who's always saved me. Even if I'm so bad that my parents have rejected me, they feel I'm so bad, they throw me out of the house. Even if I'm so depraved that my own father and mother would abandon me and leave me to my own devices. Hashem, he always believes in me. He always leaves room for me to do tshuva. So I ask, Hashem, so show me your drachim, your ways. He says that's referring to the moral laws. In other words, ben adam lemakom. And that's why I need teaching, because those are things I wouldn't instinctively know. That's referring to ben adam lechavero. And that just guides me, because most people intuitively pretty much have a sense of what they need to do, ben adam lechavero. Leman shoroi. Because of those, the lion waits. He says like this. David was concerned that he apparently had people that were starting to say rumors about him and stuff about him. And he was worried about how he appears to others. So make sure that even if, I shouldn't even have the appearance that something is wrong. I want to do your mitzvahs, and I want it to be consistent. He says, you can't do part of it is right, part of it's okay. This guy's a frum guy, this guy's a nice guy. There's no such thing as part this and part that. The Torah expects us to have a complete set of Darkecha and Arach Nishar. Ben Adam L'Makam, Ben Adam L'Chaver, it's all one. And then we'll have a clean slate. If we live that way, we'll be glad in the eyes of everybody. Altit Neni Benefesh Tzarei. Again, he's again harping on these people that David's worried about. Don't deliver me to the will of my oppressors. False witnesses have risen up against me. And there's one particular person, he doesn't say who, I'm not sure who this is, who does sanctimoniously, does wrong. Bisech means he blows, he's like a puff. Chamas is some sort of a deceptive, it could be a deceptive frumkeit. Chamas could be stealing, but you can't get caught because you steal so little that you don't get in trouble for it. Some people, he says this in another place, he says look in the other place. Some people, they steal or they act frum around people around them for the sake of hoping that everybody else will behave frum. Because if everybody else is frum and they're not, they'll be able to deceive and actually cheat the other people. But if everybody's a cheater, then they're on guard for him too. So David's worried about certain people that have themselves put on a good show, but they're really deep down out to get him. And David's worried, he's saying, I shouldn't trip up even in the slightest way that those people will then have something to accuse me of, which they're waiting for. So he says, don't translate it like you probably are thinking of. If I wouldn't have believed, it's not the way to translate the pasuk. Lule, he says, means, had it not been for people who are out to get me, if I didn't have that grief in my life, then everything would be fine. Hamanti, I would have believed Leros B'tuv Hashem Eretz Chaim, that I would already currently now live a life of perfect bliss. The Eretz Chaim, Eretz Chaim, he says, means in this world, right here. If it wouldn't be these nasty people that insinuate that I'm not a tzaddik, I have such grief from them. Other than them, I don't worry about people that are trying to attack me. But apparently, David's reputation, that in other words, he lives a life of Kiddush Hashem, and if people are accusing him of Chil Hashem, that's painful. And he says, without that, though, everything will be fine. And the main point is, remember that your focal point is on Hashem. Kaveh Hashem, Chazak V'yavetz Tadecha, hope, wait, and hope towards Hashem, with a remain strong, V'yavetz Tadecha, and let your heart give you courage, and then when you don't get an answer, when you feel maybe it's not enough, I'm not getting there, once again, Kaveh Hashem. Like Gemara says, he quotes the Gemara, if a person sees when he davens and he's not answered, he should continue to daven again. So this is basically daven tashkafe in life. Whatever's gone wrong, remember you're on Hashem's side. Your focal point is how you live your life. And everything around you, that's their problem. And your goal right now is to live a life both take the message of the Beis HaMikdash throughout your life, and that'll carry you through all your troubles, and realize you're beyond that. I once heard a kid, and I used to have music classes in school. We had a teacher who taught us a song once that the people in the Holocaust, some concentration camps, somebody knew this song, and they spread the song around one of the concentration camps. Die Gedanken sind frei. That my mind is free. You can do whatever you want to my body, but my mind is free. You can never take that away from me. And really, David Melech is saying that. Where my heart and soul is, that's really where I am. If I'm closer to Hashem and my aspirations are far beyond, then all the things coming at me can't throw me off. I'm far beyond all that. So I started with a question, why are we saying this during this season? Why are we saying that tribulations, what does that got to do with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? What's it got to do with this season? That we say all this and that. Don't be afraid of things. Have you talking to Hashem, live a life of holiness. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it's because this puts our lives in the right focus, the right perspective for tshuva. It prepares us for healthy engagement with this world. Maybe the physical troubles that David's talking about are the equivalent of our concerns, Rosh Hashanah, for parnasa, for health. I'm not sure. And certainly the idea of shifting to Eish Hashem is something that we're trying to aspire to. Where Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is almost, we're cleaning house, right? Maybe we lived divided lives. And this gets us back into, eventually, after Yom Kippur, we're, for one full week, we're leaving our physical world into some hot, almost to detox from our over connection to this world and to remember our life as a life of Kedusha. But the goal isn't to disconnect from this world. When it's all over, the final Yom Tov, the Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, we come back into this world. We come back into the house. So maybe it's to get a healthy perspective of how to live our lives. David HaMelech didn't live in the Beis HaMikdash. He went back into the world. Maybe it's a parallel to just getting our heads on straight in this time of the year where our Hashkafas need sometimes a little pick-me-up. Remember, the main thing is shift to the base Hashem.